Well, thank you. Good morning. Everything has a way of working out, I think, the way that God just planned it. And we had a planned speaker for this morning, but I guess that wasn't God's plan, you know, because the speaker didn't come, so you get us. So I guess what I'd like to do this morning is you hear a lot that this company was birthed out of prayer and that I've been obedient to God. And I've got to tell you that I have been obedient, kicking and screaming every inch of the way. You know, I'll tell you for me personally that living through God has been a very difficult thing for me to do. And just to kind of give you a little bit of my testimony, everything that I've ever done since I was a child worked. I mean, I have been so blessed, it has been incredible. And I didn't come from a family of any money, but just things happen, and I just had that knack of doing things and making things happen and recognizing opportunities and taking advantage and high risk taker. But everything worked, including being married to the most wonderful woman in the world, Linda. In fact, this year will be our 25th anniversary. Yeehaw! Twenty-five years of kicking and screaming all the way. Okay. But Linda became a born-again Christian early on and was trying to influence me in that direction. And I had been raised in the church, but just never knew God. And never really depended on God for anything because everything that I did worked. So I remember talking to my brother-in-law, Don Herndon, and Linda and Lydia about, well, if you guys need that crutch, that's fine, you know, but I'm going to be okay, you know, things. And but some people have to bottom out in order to find Jesus, you know, in their life, and they have to lose everything and just be flat out of luck before they finally turn their life over. For me, it was just the opposite. I had to top out. I had to get everything that you could buy with money and then realize I had nothing. And that happened for me in about 1988 is when that started happening. Later in 1988, I became saved too. And I kind of went AWOL for a few months just trying to find out what, you know, I needed to do with my life and what it... And Linda, bless her, she prayed that I would be so miserable through that experience and had her hope prayer chain praying the same thing, that misery would beset me like it never had before, and it did. And so prayer was working even though I wouldn't acknowledge it. And through that experience, and you know, I'll move the story ahead as quickly as possible, I just turned my life over to God, or what I thought was turning my life over to God. And I really didn't understand what that meant at the time. I just knew that I needed power in me greater than myself, and acknowledged Jesus. And in the process, it's interesting how, you know, God brings people into your life. Someone came into my life and challenged me about Jesus and said, well, you know, it's fine. Do you believe Jesus existed? And I went, well, sure. Well, who do you think he was? And I said, well, you know, he's a good guy, you know, probably a prophet. And, you know, well, do you think he was lying to people? Well, no. Who do you say he was? I said, well, he said, let's read the red print. Oh, he said he was the Son of God. Do you believe that? I said, well, I guess I could go with that. I mean, and the bottom line is you either have to go with that or you have to say Jesus was a liar. I mean, there is no in-between. There's none of this. He's just one of the gang. I mean, you either believe he is or you believe he's not. And you've got to be prepared. And see, I've never been confronted like that before. And I wasn't prepared to call Jesus a liar. And through that experience, good thing, huh? And so through that experience, I came to know Jesus as my personal Savior, and I thought, and Linda was elated, now we're a family and we're going to go forward and things are going to be great. And for the first time in my life, a business failed. I mean, this thing was going nuts, this business we were in, and it just fell off the wall. And I mean, things were deteriorating so fast for no apparent reason. And I was thinking, boy, this becoming a Christian is fun. You know, this is good. So this is how you live with God, huh? And that went out of business, and another business opportunity came along. And this is just an example of how God wants us to work, you know, with Him and trust Him in everything that we do. And even though I had accepted Jesus, I didn't accept that He would lead my life. And so I didn't learn to listen. And I know that we started a company that had the opportunity to do some really neat things, and we were buying a product from a company that was a publicly held company, and we kicked this thing off, and it was doing real well, and the company came to us and said, we want to buy your company, and we're public, we'll give you the stock in our company. And I mean, it seemed like a wonderful financial opportunity, a wonderful thing to be doing, and so I went home and shared it with Linda, and she said, no, I don't think we're supposed to do that. Don't you hate it when that happens? You know, you just... And I said, well, why not? She said, because I just don't have a good feeling about the guy that owns the company, the president. And I said, well, what does that mean? Well, I just don't have... I'm just telling you, God spoke to me, and that's not what's supposed to happen. Now, there's the first example in my Christian life of Linda saying, God told me this. And, of course, my reaction is, look, you clean the house. I'll do the business. We'll get along just fine, you know. And so, you know, the deal is, well, you're not trusting the Lord. And I said, well, how do you know that's what God wants us to do, you know? So I went ahead and sold the company and exchanged the stock, and within 6 months they bankrupted it. And so I'm thinking, okay, hard for me to learn this lesson. In the process, we had dumped all of our cash into the previous company as we had closed it down. And we owned everything. I mean, we were debt-free, but we had no cash at the time. And we got a letter, a notice from IRS that said that we owed them $100,000 because of a mistake in taxes 2 years before, something like that. $100,000. I just freaked. I went, oh, my gosh. Because we had prayed about what God wanted us to do. And you know how... Until you really understand prayer, and Linda would pray, and I'd go, yeah, you know, like that. And, yeah, okay, God, do everything, you know. And so we just felt led that we were supposed to take all of our cash and pay off everything and avoid bankruptcy, and even though it meant it would dump all of our cash, it didn't matter. God would provide for us, and I felt comfortable with that. So we did that. But then we get this notice for $100,000. And I'm thinking, whoo, man, I wish I had that prayer back. Just for about an hour, I could have just, you know, rat-holed $100,000 somewhere. That would have been nice. So at the time, we had no income coming in, and I was really concerned. And Linda said, I'm telling you, Sam, if we're going to live by God, we just turn this one over. So let's pray about it. And I've got to tell you, I wasn't believing in this prayer at all, you know. Okay, let's pray about it, Linda, you know. And she prayed that IRS would just go away. And she said, and when we got through, she said, now, don't you believe that? And I went, wait a minute, you just prayed IRS. Honey, you can pray for world peace, but this is the IRS. They're not going anywhere, you know. I mean, yeah, I believe, well, don't you think God can do it? Well, sure, God can do anything, but He ain't going to mess with IRS. I mean, this is IRS. They are after us, you know. And thank goodness she had enough faith for both of us. And about 2 weeks later, we get another letter from IRS, and it has it's from a completely different department. It's from their tax department, payroll tax. And they claim that 3 years earlier, we had overpaid payroll tax $100,000.33. And they had sent us a check. And, of course, I'm thinking, what a coincidence this is, you know. And so I called our accountant, and he said, well, let me check. And he checked. He said, well, it's not a mistake. I mean, it was done perfectly right. You have to send it back. Send it back? You know? And Linda said, well, send it back. I mean, God's going to take care of it. I mean, if it's meant to be, and, you know, God's in control. So we sent it back. 30 days later, it came back with interest. We sent it back again. 30 days later, it came back with more interest. And finally, the accountant said, I don't understand it, but just cash it. So we cashed it and paid it off. And You know, it's still hard to believe that that came from God for me, you know. I mean, because in the natural, that just didn't seem possible. And that is what is so tough about a faith walk, and particularly, I think, for a guy who has been in business all his life and made things happen, that God can really do things that significant in such a tangible way. I don't know what I thought God was up to or what it meant to believe in God, but I surely didn't think it meant taking care of IRS or anybody else like that. And so we tried one more thing, and we were just fiddling around, and finally we got to the point that Linda said, listen, you've got all the talent in the world. God has blessed you unbelievably. We have got to get on our knees and pray that we will do a business for God, and you've got to listen. And if you'll really turn your life over and really let him guide, you know, I think the business will prosper. And if we just claim his blessings and claim that we will glorify his name in all that we do, he will bless us with a business and do his work like you've never seen. And so that's what we did. We got on our knees with Don and Lydia, our Linda's sister and her husband and Linda's mom, and we just prayed, God, bring us a company that we can glorify you in every way. And we didn't have any idea what that was going to be. But you know that you have brought us this far and that you've given us these talents, and let us use it in a mighty way to build your kingdom with, and we'll glorify you every step of the way. And so I was already in a business with Bill Fioretti, who's my partner and a biochemist. We had a biotech company that made agriculture products. And the opportunity came along to do Manatech, which at that point was Emprise. And so we all felt that this was it. You know, the law was there. There were great indicators that there was a tremendous business opportunity. And so we just prayed that if this meant to be, that God would just bring to us things that would make it happen. And so the very first thing that happened when we got up and running is we started getting some products, and people were coming into the company. And you know, it's funny because God was working in a lot of other people's lives at the same time, and probably the same types of prayers, and he started bringing people together. And the first person from the outside he brought in, well, I think it was no mistake that Ray Robbins joined us right off the bat. And Ray is a mighty prayer warrior. He's a wonderful human being, and he probably has more talent for building this kind of business than any one individual I've ever met. And Ray was a true blessing to us. He came into the company right off, and we started building this thing. And then God brought through the door Reg McDaniel. And I got to tell you, that is a blessing times a gazillion, you know, to have this guy come. And, you know, Reg was from a traditional medical background. You couldn't be any more entrenched. He was a chief of pathology, chief of staff at DFW Hospital, just mainstream medicine all the way. But while we were going through all of these trials, somewhere across the city, unbeknownst to me, was a man named Bill McAnally, who had prayed that God would work in his life in a similar way. And so when Bill was hired by a group of investors to find the medically active molecule in the aloe vera plant, the first thing he did is he went to the literature to see what was going on. Was there any references to aloe vera? And he found that there were many references in the Bible. And Bill, being the great Christian that he is, said, well, now that's interesting. This is work that I need to be doing. And there's no mistake that God mentioned aloe in the Bible. And I think I'm meant to be doing this. And of course, Carrington was a pharmaceutical company. And back in those days, if you found something that was medically active, the only way that you could bring it to market is as a pharmaceutical drug. So there wasn't this nutraceutical concept where you could show that people could get a medic or a pharmaceutical benefit from a natural product. So they knew that they were going to have to become a pharmaceutical company, even to use this natural molecule from aloe vera. But part of drug process is identifying and structuring the molecule itself, or the synthesized molecule, or whatever you're bringing to market as a drug. So Bill was examining the aloe vera plant and thought it was a protein, and it wasn't a protein, thought it was an enzyme, wasn't an enzyme. And at the time, 12 years ago, no one had ever even conceived that a carbohydrate had immunostimulating qualities. I mean, that was just like Greek to everyone. And Bill accidentally discovered that it was a carbohydrate. And that's another story somewhere down the road. But anyway, the point is, that was incredible, because he found that this long-chain carbohydrate triggered or actually stimulated the master regulator of the defense system, so it was an immunostimulant. Well, that's pretty exciting news, because they found out that it was a carbohydrate that the plant naturally broke and digested. An enzyme in the plant would digest this carbohydrate once the leaf was picked, which meant it lost its immunostimulating quality. And because of that, they knew they could deactivate the enzyme, and that would allow them to file patents on stabilized beta-mannans from aloe vera. You can't file a patent on a natural component, but you can file a patent on a process that stabilizes something that is naturally destroyed. So they stabilized it, and it was just, it's just an incredible discovery. You know, I mean, this is the pioneer of all carbohydrate technology. And so Bill stabilized that, and then went back to the drug application and figured out that now they were really in trouble, because the first step in applying for it as a drug is you have to identify the structure of the molecule. And at the time, no one structured carbohydrates, because there are hundreds of thousands of links of sugars that twist and turn, and no one had the technology to identify the structure of a carbohydrate. In fact, it was just coming out being taught at Oxford University, the only school in the world that was even teaching it. So Bill said, you know, here I'd come all this way, through all this ridicule from all my peers, identified that it was a carbohydrate, and we had no way to go a step further, because we had no way of identifying the structure of the molecule. So I said, I just prayed. I said, God, if you want this to go on and you want this wonderful discovery to be, delivered to your people and to the masses and serve as some form of ministry, then you're going to have to intervene here, because I don't know what to do at this point. Now, that was like on a Tuesday. Saturday morning, he was working at the lab at Carrington in an industrial area of Dallas, and it was a driving rainstorm. There was a knock at the door, and there was a UPS man. And he came in, and he had a pygmy from Africa with him. And he said, Dr. McAnally, I'm glad you're open. This guy was standing three blocks away in the rain. He was going on a job interview, and the cab dropped him off at the wrong place, and he was trying to flag down anybody who would pick him up. And he was drenched, and can he use your phone? Well, first of all, it's against company policy for UPS to pick up anybody in their truck. So anyway, Bill said, sure, you know. Who you want to call? He said, well, I'm calling Merck, you know, pharmaceutical. And Bill said, well, I know some people at Merck. What are you doing over there? Well, I'm getting a job as a quality control engineer. And so the UPS guy leaves. And so they get to talking, and they call a cab. And they get to talking, and Reg said, well, you know, quality control engineer, what got you interested in that? And so the guy's talking. He said, well, really, the problem is I can't find a job, you know, with my degree. And he said, well, what's your degree? He said, I just graduated from Oxford with a degree in carbohydrate structure. And so, see, now I would have never put that together as having been from God. But needless to say, they hired him right there on the spot, and he was responsible for structuring that carbohydrate, which would allow them to go to the next step. And so while God was working in my life, he was also preparing this whole thing through Bill McAnally, and they went to Reg McDaniel because he was the chief of pathology and chief of staff and at DFW, and they needed some medical research done. And so Reg reluctantly participated in the initial medical research on AIDS patients. And the first trial, they took 17 AIDS patients and put them on this wicked-tasting aloe juice with this stabilized molecule. 70% of them became asymptomatic, lost every symptom that they had. So, I mean, to someone from the medical community whose only usage of a drug was AZT, and all that did is poison these poor people and maybe extended their life, but it was a miserable extension, he just couldn't believe it. So then they did that was the first pilot study they did. Then the second pilot study they did was a confirmatory pilot. They took 17 patients again, different sets of doctors, gave them that nasty taste and juice. 69% of them lost every symptom that they had. Then they did a confirmatory, and then they did a predictability pilot. And they said, why did some respond and some others? And they looked at all their immune factors, and they said the ones that had fallen below this chart wouldn't respond, the ones that were still above it would. And they were 98% accurate. So they took that. Now, this is 12 years ago. So they flew to Washington, D.C. to the FDA, and, of course, they were thinking, we're going to be on the front of Time magazine. I mean, this is incredible. Nothing affected that disease like this was doing. And they sat down with the FDA, and they started going through their data, and the head investigator stood up and just walked out of the room. And, of course, Reg was sitting there going, what is wrong? I mean, I've got all this documentation. And someone else came back in and said, the investigator said that you're claiming the effects of a drug, and you haven't done through your drug trials yet, so you can't use that information. We're not interested in it. You've got to go through phase one, phase two, phase three before we even want to see you. And that is approximately 12 years and $200 million. And they said, if you try to use public pressure or special interest groups to get this to market, we'll close you down and you'll never see the light of day. Well, again, I think God was in the process of doing the work in everyone's life at that point. They came back and decided that they were going to have to go through the drug trials. In the meanwhile, they put this stabilized molecule into consumer products like the juice and the pills and the capsules and put them on the shelves. Now, they were the only company with stabilized aloe, and you'd think they would own the industry. But nothing happened. They never sold $20,000 a year worth of aloe vera. Never. Not one time in 7 years that they had that out. And it's because you can't educate consumers, I think, through retail. But I think also those people weren't the people to take this discovery to market. And so we came along, and God was working in our lives and planning this whole thing out if we would be obedient to Him. And they got phase three approval for their colitis trials at Carrington. They needed a lot of money. So they had Manipul and no money. We had a lot of money and no Manipul. And so it was a perfect scenario for us to put a deal together with Carrington, and we licensed the rights to Manipul. So we started making Manipul-based products. Reg came over at that point and joined us full-time. And, you know, just to show you the kind of people that God will bring into your life, Reg was still chief of pathology. And he said, I want more than anything to see this product in the hands of people all over the world. He said, I've made millions of dollars, and he was the highest paid physician in Southwest United States for several years. So I've made plenty of money in my life, and I've seen it come, and I've seen it go, and I found that that's not what my plan is. You know, that's not what God wants me to do. He wants me to take this molecule and get it to market. Do you think you can do that? And I said, yeah, I think we can do it, Reg, in a way that you could never imagine. And he said, then I want to join you full-time because you're going to need a medical doctor on your staff to start explaining to people what this thing can do. And I said, well, I can't pay you anything. He said, you just work some deal out that's fair in the long run, and if you make it, I make it, and I'll work for nothing. Now, I'm telling you, God brought Reg McDaniel, you know, to our company. One of the first real tests is we started bringing out these products, and we thought, oh, this is good stuff. Bob Ward, who had great contacts in athletics, one of his contacts was Tom Tellez, who was the track coach at University of Houston. He had all these guys training for the Olympics, Mike Marsh, who was a gold medalist, Leroy Burrell, who was the world's fastest human at the time, 100-meter world record holder, Carl Lewis. All these sprinters on the U.S. Olympic team trained through Tom Tellez at University of Houston. They're all on the Santa Monica track team, but they trained with Tom Tellez. So we went down there. They got introduced to us, and we just prayed that God would always bring the right people. And so before we went, Linda said, you know, I think that, because I was saying, I wonder how we're going to work with these athletes, how we'll get them in. She said, if they're meant to be here, God will make it happen. You know what I'm thinking? Linda, you know, I mean, this is so tough for me to get. It really is. That's why I said obeying God has not been just a real simple thing for me to do. So we went down there, and so our strategy was that the athletes that got results from these products would just be willing to share their testimony with people just as a way of enhancing other people's lives, and that we would pay them no endorsement fee for doing that. Now, to professional athletes or world-class athletes, that's not really the way they do business generally. But again, we just thought, okay, if God is really going to work in this company, here we go. And so we went down there and talked to that group of athletes, and I said, you know, what we'd like to do is supply you the product. And if it works, we just want you to tell people what it does, because we think it's going to change people's lives much more significantly than just enhancing your time, you know, 1/10 of a second, which is, in, when you're at that level, that's huge. But we just like you to share that. And we don't really have an endorsement program. We just think that, and I told them, I said, we just think that God is going to move in this company. He's going to do great things. And we just need the people like yourselves who can share that information and maybe help other people, encourage them to try the products too. And they all said, okay. And I mean, that just, I could not believe that. So I came back, but the next day, the guy that I was really after was Leroy Burrell, because he was the world's fastest human. I thought, now that's good marketing stuff here. World's fastest human taking our product. Ooh, this is good. So his agent called me the next day, and he said, Leroy mentioned something about you using his name, and I said, yeah, here's our deal. We're doing this, and we'll give him product, and we just want a testimony, he said. And so where's the contract? I said, that is the contract. It's my word that we'd do this and his word that he'd do it back. He said, no, that's not the way we do business down here. He said, it's going to start off at $10,000 just for an endorsement, and then it's a percentage of this, and then he started going in this long thing. Now, my first inclination is to negotiate. Okay, what about five and a little thing here and that? And he said, well, I'll call you back, and so we'll get together this afternoon. So I just happened to meet Linda for lunch that day, and so here I am thinking, well, all those other guys, that's God's plan, but this one over here, I'm going to take care of, you know. And so I said, well, I met with, talk with Burrell's agent, I think I can get him to this. She said, wait a minute, didn't we say that we would just turn this over to God and that he would take care of it? And I said, yeah, but that's for those guys. See, this is the world's fastest human. Now, if we want the world's fastest human, we need an she said, well, you do what you want. I hate it when she says that, you know. Well, you do what you want, but I'm just telling you, God told me that he'd bring the right people. And, you know, you go ahead and do what you want. Well, by this time, I'd been whipped, you know, into bankruptcy almost by not following that word. And so I said, okay, I mean, I don't understand this. And I kind of pouted about it a little bit, you know, but I guess we'll just blow off Leroy. I mean, if that's the way we have to do it. I mean, we'll walk by God, all right, but we just won't have the best endorsements we can. So I called his agent back and I said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to pay anything. This is just the way it is, and I can't explain it to you. I didn't want to explain it. So he said, okay, that's fine. So, you know, I mean, we stopped the presses because we had Leroy's picture going into the Manatech newsletter and all the stuff, and, you know, stop it, take his picture out. I was pouting and mad, and I thought, I hate this stuff. Well, 2 days later, Leroy Burrell called. He said, what's going on? And I said, well, I talked to your agent. He explained that you have to have a contract. And I said, you know, Leroy, we just blew it off because, as I told you down there, we really think that this whole thing is of God. And this is the word that we got. And I'm not mad at you, and I'm not mad at your agent. I guess it just wasn't meant to be. And he said, no, I think it is meant to be. He said, my agent doesn't run my life. He said, I'll do the deal. For nothing. Now I'm thinking, ooh, man, this working with God is pretty good stuff, you know? I don't think I've ever had a negotiating partner like this before. This is pretty wild. And it has been one experience like that after the next. You know, we took Manipole on, and as I said yesterday afternoon, I think, that, you know, we were not in charge of our own destiny, which I don't think God intended us, but he used Carrington and Manipole for the right reason, and that was to put us on the map and give us proprietary technology that worked. People at Carrington are interesting folks. It's a public company, for one thing, so there's no one person that owns it. But there is a group of people that run it. And they saw us selling this Manipole, like, I mean, my gosh, we were selling more Manipole in a day than they'd sold in 6 years. And I think, of course, their stockholders put a lot of pressure. Why couldn't you do that? What's wrong with our management team? You know. And, of course, our competitors and people were calling Carrington all the time saying, we want to buy Manipole. Well, we have this exclusive arrangement. So what they came up with, their idea of a good time, is they developed a product called AVMP, aloe vera mucilage and polysaccharide. And it had 30 milligrams of stabilized beta-mannan. But composition-wise, it was different than Manipole. So their attorneys informed us they were going to bring this out and that it was legal because it was technically different than Manipole. And we still own the rights to Manipole that had what? 30 milligrams of mucilage and polysaccharide. And I said, well, it's not the amount of magnesium that counts, it's the amount of beta-mannan that counts. And this looks just like Manipole, and this is not going to work. And so we were really concerned about that, obviously. And so, you know, I went home and Lynn said, God's going to take care of it. Don't you worry about it. This is all his plan. I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm thinking, yeah, but you know, we're going to have to sue Carrington. We're not going to sue anybody. God's going to take care of it. It's going to work out just fine. Well, what that meant is that we would have an exclusive over a product that had a brother-in-law look-alike that could be bought on the open market, and I knew what our competition would do with that. They would say, you have no exclusive, which would be factual. So we just prayed that God would give us the answer, some transition from Manipole to something else without us having to go through suing Carrington or doing anything. And I didn't know how that was going to happen because, to me, Manipole was the most incredible thing. And I thought, how do you leave Manipole? You can't. We cannot leave. That is our story. I mean, we've built this thing from that. Well, probably the only person on earth that could have transcended us from that was Bill McAnally, but he still had a year left on his contract at Carrington. But these yahoos over there were in this budget mode to really cut costs wherever they could. And because Bill was consulting with us on the side, they claimed that he was violating his contract. And they wanted to jip him out of the last... Now, this is the guy that founded their technology. But this is corporate thinking, you know, in this kind of environment. We don't need Bill McAnally anymore because we got another set of researchers that are taking us through phase three. So this discovery guy isn't really needed anymore, and we're just paying him a salary. And isn't that a waste of money? So they just told Bill they thought he had violated, which was hogwash, and he could have sued him and he could have won, but Bill saw what we were doing and recognized that this is the way that God was going to take his discovery, or that the discovery that God had allowed him to make, to the masses. And so they came and said, we think you violated, and Bill said, fine, turn me loose. And they looked at him because they thought, man, he's going to fight and we're going to have to settle for half his salary and some big, you know, severance package. And he just said, fine, turn me loose. I want it in writing that I have the right to do anything I want without any interference from you. And of course, they were willing to do that for $100,000. And so they let Bill McAnally go, and he came over and said, now I'm free. What do you think we ought to do? What do you think, you know, God's got in mind? And I told him to deal with AVMP and all that, and he goes, oh, no problem. He said, anytime something like that happens, I just pray and God gives me the next deal. And I'm thinking, okay, now I got Linda and Bill both with this illogical mindset of God's going to fix this thing. And so Bill said, I see the problem, I understand. You know, let me just pray about it, and, you know, I think something will surface. And I said, well, you know, it better surface fast. I mean, these people are saying in October, November, they're going to come out with this, and this was end of July. The next week, Bill came in and laid out Ambertose. I mean, just a week later, he said, you know, I just got to thinking about, you know, the molecule and what happened when it went into the system and it broke into mannose and what happens with mannose. And so I went to the literature, and mannose is used in glycoprotein production. Well, what's a glycoprotein? I walked over here and, you know, and when he laid out this story, I thought, my gosh, that is the deal. I mean, it included mannose as a key component, so we didn't have to lose the story of mannose or that great molecule, but it took us to a composition of seven other sugars that truly was an enhancement to the product. It was legitimate. It had more science than he ever had before. I mean, there couldn't have been a more incredible transition. And what's wild is that this whole business of glycoproteins, no one even knew anything about it 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, this is such new science that it put us right on the cutting edge of where medicine is going. And so I just praise God for what he did in my life, in Bill McAnally's life, in Reg McDaniel's life, and everybody that he's brought to our company. Everybody has played a part. But when you hear the story that this company was birthed out of prayer, that's how it all happened. And I got to tell you, against everything that I thought was possible, with me kicking and screaming every inch of the way, God has brought, I think, a company that is going to change the face of the earth. And I think what it's going to... And I think it's going to be the most incredible ministry, you know, that God has ever used outside of the church, to take the Word of God and the proclamation of how great it is to believe in God to the entire world. And we're going to do it. And that is the opportunity of a lifetime. You know, and the money will come, and we never think too much about the cash flow. It's funny when these new people come into our company and upper management, and they've come from traditional backgrounds of traditional business, and budget issues are important and all that sort of thing. And so we strategize a conference call or something like that, and it's like, well, how are we going to pay for that? And I said, well, who's we? I mean, you're not going to have a payroll deduction, you know. I mean, this is just something that we want to do to invest in people. And there's a great receptiveness around the office as a result of that. And I think that God is in charge of this deal. I don't care what happens. Sometime, we'll, like for instance, early on, we got an investigative letter from the FTC. Man, people run around our office just scared to death, including me. And... You know, the FTC, oh, I hate the other. So, you know, naturally I call home and Linda's going. She goes, hey, let's pray this. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Let's stand on that one. I go, you better stand on that one because it's the FTC after, you know. And they came and went and everything was fine. And that truly is the scripture that we stand on every day, whether it be Carrington or whether it be the FDA or the FTC or some attorney general or whoever. We pray that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And I think God is honoring that prayer and will continue to honor that prayer. And so we don't live in fear in building this company. We just live in excitement that God is doing something great every day, even if we don't know what it is. And if we just listen and are obedient, and I don't have any choice because of who I live with, you have a choice. I don't. But it really has taught me to depend on God, and I'll tell you, that is a change in my life like you cannot believe. I mean, that is the strangest thing in the world, to depend upon God for everything. But so far, so good. That's all I can report at this point. And I'll tell you, good grief, I think I've gone on longer than I need to. I just wanted you to understand who's really in charge of this company, in my opinion. And, you know, the toughest thing is that we're attracting people of all faiths from all around the world. And I found that it's really challenged my Christian faith to just meet everybody where they're at and not be a know-it-all and a you need to think this way or you need to feel that way, and just truly love them where they're at. And we've seen some amazing things happen in the people's lives. And I mean, if we're going to go around the world and we're going to be part of a global ministry, we're going to find people that don't think exactly like we do, and that's okay. I remember where I was just a few years ago, and if someone had not taken the time to really love me into the kingdom of God, I would have never come. And so that's I hope what we all are about, and that is the bigger mission in this thing for all of us. We just want to thank you for coming this weekend and hope you've enjoyed your time with us. But what we'd like to do is just invite anybody that would like prayer to come up, and we'll just pray for you regardless of what you need or what your what you're praying for can be anything or everything. If you're trying to find God in your life, we'd like to pray for you about that. If you think, well, I'm not really walking a faith walk, believe me, we'd like to pray for you about that, because it can change your life. Not just believing who God is, but trusting that God can really do a wonderful work through your life. So we'll just dismiss and say thank you for coming.